Hello and welcome to the very first What's Up Doc podcast. Here on these podcasts, Dr. Tim and I, Dr. Rob, will be focusing on answering your family questions, specifically questions about marriage, which I will generally respond to, or questions about parenting, which Dr. Tim will generally respond to. We are excited to start doing this. For the last year or so, we have offered free articles and, more recently, an inexpensive ebook, Three Things You Can Do Today to Create a Ridiculously Happy Marriage. And the ebook's doing well. Thank you to the many that have purchased that already. But most of our content will remain free. And these podcasts are obviously free every other week. But we do want your participation. Please continue to send in questions. If you have marriage questions, Dr. Rob at familygoodthings.com, parenting questions, Dr. Tim, D-R-T-I-M, at familygoodthings.com. And many of you are also aware of who we are. Dr. Tim and I both teach at BYU Idaho University in Rexburg, Idaho. But we've been friends and neighbors for a few years, and about a year ago decided that we wanted to go ahead and create a resource that can hopefully be a blessing to families. And thus we started familygoodthings.com. So thank you. It's been a wonderful first year. But enough about that. If you want to read more about us, you can certainly go to our website. But let's dive into the first question. So the first question is, it comes from, we'll call her Stephanie. That's not the lady's name, but we do want to keep names anonymous as we refer to these questions. So Stephanie asks, how can I deal with unmet expectations in marriage? When my husband and I were first married, I was devastated to find out that he was disappointed in my body. He would never intentionally say anything to hurt me, but he accidentally let some very honest disappointments out, and I was crushed. He has since deeply regretted saying that and says that he thinks I am beautiful now, but the lack of confidence and pain still lingers. Okay, first of all, that's hard. You can sense by the way that Stephanie still talks about this. Now, in fairness, I don't know if she has been married for 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 decades, but clearly the pain still lingers. In marriage, there is a lot of vulnerability, of course. You have maximum vulnerability from a physical standpoint as you see each other in the most vulnerable situations. That vulnerability can lead to incredible intimacy with regard to sexual relations and other expressions of love during marriage. But that intimacy, or that vulnerability, I should say, can lead to some hurts, as what took place here in this email, in this experience. Now, obviously, that vulnerability extends to emotional vulnerability, mental vulnerability. For those that are religious, spiritual vulnerability, right? In that you know each other so intimately, so closely, that your partner has the ability to use that information in a way that can at times cause pain, and ideally, and in many cases, bring so much closeness. But in this situation, this vulnerability led to some pain. And I want to get to that in a few minutes. But first, I want to deal with the beginning part of the question. It's more generic, but it's one that I think that virtually every couple can relate to, at least in some regard, and for some period of their marriage. And that was, how can I deal with unmet expectations in marriage? So I want to talk a little bit about having realistic expectations. And again, for more information, I go into quite a bit more detail in that ebook. But to start with, do we understand the importance of realistic expectations? To start with, and I suspect especially those of you that have been married for some time, you know already that life is just hard for everyone. No, I don't mean that life is without happiness. I hope each of you have quite a lot of happiness, but life is hard for everyone to a certain extent. This, therefore, does not exempt marriage from having some challenging difficulties, some challenging times financially, with health, with jobs, with children. And I suspect you know that already. Many of you know that. But too often, as I am around those that are eagerly anticipating marriage or have just married, there's this misconception, this perception that marriage is going to be my happily ever after. That as soon as I get married, as soon as I find the right person, then I should be free of the trials and challenges that I've experienced in life thus far. You know, so many of you know that that's not realistic, but some of you may still be in that thought, in that realm of belief right now. And so number one, we have to realize that, and we have to have realistic expectations for our marriage. Now, including the notion that marriage and life can be hard, should be the idea that marriage can be wonderful. In fact, I often teach my students that while life can be hard, and at different times it is for everybody, what an amazing blessing it is to go through life's trials with your best friend, to celebrate life's successes with your best friend. And in marriage, we really ought to be married to our best friend. We ought to be able to create that type of a relationship. So part of realistic expectations is that we can be really happy. Please believe that. That's incredibly important. But marriage takes work, nourishment, intentionality. We really have to focus on that. Marriages, even couples that start out in love, if they're not going out and continuing courtship after marriage, having dates, taking time to put down the technology and really connect one with another, if they're not nourishing the sexual relationship, if they're not looking for kindness and trying to really become one in that marriage relationship, then yeah, they're not going to be as happy as they can be. So marriage does take work. We do have to nourish it. You're familiar. If you have a plant, I reference periodically that back in college I had a cactus and I killed it from lack of watering. And it's hard to do, mind you, but nevertheless. But I mention that because our relationships are much like that. We have to, I mean, a plant requires, you know this, it requires the water and the sunlight and the proper soil. Marriage requires the constant attention, the forgiveness, the overlooking of faults. It requires time together. It requires us putting down that technology. Okay, now I've talked about a little bit of the danger by way of realistic expectations, that danger of the happily ever after. There's a similar myth, a really dangerous one, again, that I go into in more detail, much more detail in the ebook, but the danger of the soulmate myth. And that is the idea that we just need to find our one and only. Now, you can think of countless movies or books where this storyline is portrayed, but once you find your Prince Charming, once you find that amazing girl, then you're set. You will be happy simply because fate brought you together. And please know, I'm not trying to kill your romantic notions here, but that is so incredibly dangerous, that one of the things with realistic expectations is that there is not just a one and only. Now, please don't stop listening to this podcast. I'm going to explain a notion that I think you will find equally romantic in a moment. But the reason why this is so incredibly dangerous is that if you believe that there's just fate and this one person, in so many instances, this excuses that individual, that couple, from working on the relationship. Why do I need to improve myself? Why do I need to work on this relationship? Because this is my soulmate. Fate brought us together. We're just going to be happy because we found each other. And it really is a romantic notion, but it's a dangerous one. If, on the other hand, you find the best person you can find and you get married and then you work at that relationship, you can become each other's soulmates. And I think that is equally, if not more, romantic. I've been married to my sweet Carissa now for 18 years, and I cannot imagine life with any other woman. I just think she's amazing to me. But could she have married another guy and been happily married? Absolutely. Could I have married another girl and been happily married? Yes. But at this point, we've sunk so much time and effort into nourishing this relationship that we really do feel like we have become each other's soulmate. And that's a nice aspect. But again, there are dangers associated with projecting externally. In fact, what we often see with those that prescribe to the soulmate myth is that, you know, as marriage gets tough, and it will at times for all of us, life is hard, you've got different personalities, you've got grumpiness and tiredness and stubbornness and humanness for both husband and wife, that if all of a sudden conflict ensues, marriage is harder, those that believe fate brought them together, those that are in that happily ever after, in that soulmate type mindset, might think, you know what? This is hard. I must have married the wrong person. And that seems overly simplistic, but that happens often, that people start to question, did I really marry the right person? And that's those couples that truly want to be, again, the title I use in the ebook, Ridiculously Happy. If you truly want to be ridiculously happy, if you want to have an extraordinary marriage, not just an okay one, you have to be committed to, I have picked my spouse, and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that this marriage succeeds. And thus, there's no room for wondering, did I marry the wrong person? So that soulmate myth is dangerous. Another thing that helps so much with expectations, and you likely know this, but sometimes as couples we struggle with that, and that is open and honest communication. I suspect as you fell in love with your spouse that you would spend quite a lot of time talking. My wife and I would go on dates when we were dating, and we would talk for hours. And yes, I thought and still think she is beautiful. Yes, I loved other aspects of her personality and still do, and have fallen more in love with her over the years. But the fact that we had been able to communicate really helped instigate that process of falling in love. And over the years, that's still one of my very favorite things to do, is just to talk with her. And I believe she feels the same. So communication is important, but even for couples like us, couples quite possibly like you that can communicate about virtually everything, there are some things that often are still difficult for couples to talk about, one of which is finances. For some reason, finances are often laden with some strong emotions for a host of different reasons that I won't get into in this podcast, but talking about finances openly is really important and yet can be challenging for couples. And not surprisingly, another really challenging aspect of communication is often in the realm of sexual relations, that couples that can talk about so many other aspects of marriage openly often keep their husband or wife guessing about what they want, what they hope for sexually within the marriage relationship. Now, a third area, and very germane to this topic, very pertinent to this topic, is just expectations in general. It's going to be virtually impossible for your spouse to meet your expectations if they don't know what your expectations are. So think about that for a second. Odds are you are married to somebody who really genuinely wants you to be happy. And odds are you want your spouse to be happy. But are they guessing? Do they know? Sometimes, and I see this a little bit more in women, although I suspect men do this as well, sometimes we fall into the trap of saying, you know, if my spouse loved me, they would know what I want. They should know how to make me happy sexually. They should know what I want for my anniversary. They should know, you know, they should know the different ways to make me happy. And that's quite dangerous. But sometimes we play that game. If you want to play that game and you want to be disappointed, I guess more power to you. But odds are, if you're listening to this podcast, you really are quite interested in nurturing your marriage and having a wonderful relationship. And part of that is just the candor of having open dialogue with your spouse. And ask yourself the question, do you know right now what your spouse wants, what your spouse's expectations are for marriage? What are their hopes and dreams? Dr. John Gottman, a wonderful, renowned marriage researcher out of the University of Washington, one of the most renowned of social scientists with regards to marriage, often talks about the idea of love maps. And the idea is that the love map is really knowing the terrain in your spouse's life, really knowing what are the hopes, the dreams, the fears, the aspirations that your spouse has. And odds are they're going to change over the years. My wife and I were married relatively young, in that I was 22. She was almost 21. She was 20, just almost 21. So relatively young. So that young, wonderful bride that I married, I felt like I knew her fairly well. But now 18 years later, she has different hopes and dreams and aspirations, and it's critically important for me to maintain that love map, for me to still know, you know, what what really concerns her, what excites her, what are the things in life that she you know, what are her dreams, what's on her bucket list, you know, all of those things make up a love map. And yet that's not going to happen if we don't have date nights. It's not going to happen if we don't have pillow talk or times together that we can connect. And as we have five children, you can imagine it's a busy household. But it becomes even more important that on date night or different times talking, that conversations will naturally be drawn to these five children whom we love and who keep our lives quite busy and full. But we can't just have our date night be discussing who's going to pick up, you know, this child from soccer practice and get that child to voice lessons. It has to be also focusing on intentionally nurturing our relationship. So communication is so important. Talk about those sensitive issues, finances, sexual relations, but be sure that you really communicate about the expectations of marriage. That's going to help. It's going to help tremendously. Another thing that I want to get to, now this is hard. So going back to Stephanie's email, again, a lot of hurt to find out that your spouse was disappointed in your body, or maybe in other scenarios it was that your spouse doesn't find you as attractive anymore. Or, I mean, there's some things that would be really real hurts. And I go back to talking about there is no other relationship that has this amount of vulnerability. And I would argue that because of this, there can be more pain in marriage relationships or more joy in marriage relationships than in any other human relationship. Now, it's not all or nothing. It's not either some couples have this vulnerability lead to pain and other couples have this vulnerability lead to happiness. I suspect this amount of vulnerability can cause even the happiest marriages some pain sometimes. So again, your goal, I strongly suspect, is that you want to be one of those that are really extraordinarily happy. So when we're faced with pain in marriage caused by a spouse hurting us, in this case, this lady's hurts, she mentioned the honest expression from her husband that kind of slipped out that for whatever reason, he was disappointed in her body. Again, ouch, that hurts. But we all have these ouch moments. So when presented with frustration and deep hurts in marriage, we have three different options. And again, this is another one I go into greater detail in the ebook, but we have three different options. One of the options, and I don't want to spend much time on it because if you're listening to this podcast, you're really likely not interested in divorce, and good for you. Let's do everything in our power to avoid that option. Keep that as an absolute last resort. But unfortunately, since the early 1980s, this has become an option that roughly half of all couples end up pursuing. Now you realize, many of you, you've heard reports, or if not, let me share a little bit of the research. Those that end up divorcing in so many cases report that they are less happy than they were in an unhappy relationship. Now that's all pretty pessimistic and gloomy, but I just want to mention that this grass is greener, that surely I'm happier if I divorce, that's so often not the case. Now, a quick disclaimer, there are some really awful scenarios in some marriages with maybe it's, you know, physical abuse or other things. I don't want to get into a list of these are justified reasons and these aren't. I will point out, however, though, that there are couples that survive extramarital affairs by one or both couples or both individuals. There are couples that overcome extreme addiction and end up still being happily married. And so please don't just assume that this is a choice that we need to take if marriage gets hard. So I want to talk about a couple other options that we have. Now this next one, I suspect that many of you have done this. My wife and I have probably done this to each other from time to time as well. But let's stop doing this. And so that is to withhold forgiveness because we kind of want to get our spouse back. So maybe it's a smaller hurt, maybe it's a larger hurt, but sometimes we stubbornly just withhold our forgiveness. You hurt me, and if I forgive you, where is the justice in that? I'm going to let you suffer a little bit. I'm going to let you twist in the wind. I'm going to let you know that I am mad at you. Now, please note, I'm not suggesting that if our spouse hurts us that we don't openly communicate, as I touched on earlier. Yes, please do that. That's so important. We want to make sure that we know we have clear expectations, and sometimes clear expectations deal with saying, you know what, that hurt. Now, in another podcast, I will talk about how we communicate, how we handle conflict, because we can handle it in a way that can really harm our relationship. We can handle it in a way that can lead to resolution. But for today, I want to talk about the danger in spitefully holding on to or withholding our forgiveness. It is such a natural tendency. Again, if you're like me, you've done that before. But if your goal, like me, is that you want something not just good, but exceptional in the marriage relationship, if that's really what you're shooting for, then holding on to these hard feelings, it prevents the growth in the marriage relationship. Now, sometimes that is hard. Is that an easy thing to forgive a spouse when you are still hurting from something like Stephanie mentioned in this email, the honest disappointments, being disappointed in your body, that clearly that hurt. And I don't know if this is the case, but oftentimes the things that wound us the most deeply are in areas where maybe we already have our own self-doubts. We all have different levels of self-doubt. Let me just share a quick example. When I was a brand new teacher, a brand new instructor at the university level, part-time instructor. I have a business background as well as my doctorate in family studies. And so I've often, even here at the university now, I'm a full-time administrator and just teach part-time, although I enjoy both immensely. So I was in business, I was in industry, and I would drive in and teach these evening classes. And I don't know that I had the confidence yet that I really was qualified to be teaching. Again, this is a decade or so ago. So sure enough, end of semester evaluations come out. Now, surprisingly to me, a lot of the evaluations were quite kind. There were a lot of students that enjoyed my approach, enjoyed my humor, enjoyed whatever. But there were some, and albeit a very small number, and this will kind of make the point here, there was a very small number that they gave some constructive feedback, frankly, probably some good feedback, but they gave some feedback, or they didn't like my style as much. Now, in hindsight, I should have been absolutely thrilled with that evaluation. I was new at this, and a lot of students really liked me. A lot of students gave me top marks even that very first semester. But what did I focus on? In large part because I already had some self-doubts about my ability to teach, about my qualifications. I really honed in on the negative remarks. Now, it's interesting, 10 years later, I still get student evaluations. Now I'm much more confident in my abilities. Now I've had hundreds of students over the years that give me top marks or really like my teaching style. So when I have a student every so often who doesn't like my approach, it's much easier for me to say, you know what, that's okay. Maybe a different instructor would have been better for that student, but the way I'm teaching is effective for the vast majority of students. And so I don't wallow in self-pity. It doesn't hit my confidence like it once did. Now, apply that to marriage as well, because I think that happens sometimes. If we already have concerns about our ability as a breadwinner, as a professional, and then there's something said in an argument about our inability to hold a job, or if we already have doubts, like maybe in this email, that maybe our body doesn't look exactly the way we want it to, or we know we get angry a little bit more than we want to, and then that comes up hurtfully in an argument, it can become so much more painful because we're already aware of our deficits in those areas. So again, this is easier said than done, but if you truly want to be happily married, and I mean really happily married, if you want to do more than simply survive through marriage, in society, it's kind of sad to me that we celebrate the victory of being married together 50 or 60 years. Now, don't get me wrong. I've had grandparents, and my wife's had grandparents that have been married for 50 or 60 years, And that's wonderful. But if the sole goal is somehow surviving marriage, that, wow, we made it to the finish line, almost like it's a marathon. We survived the agony and we made it to the 26.2 miles, or we made it to 50 or 60 years of marriage. That's a pretty low bar. Now, if the goal is that we want to be married throughout our life, I mean, happily married throughout our life, and thus obviously we're married 50, 60 years, but it's, we enjoy that journey, we truly are happy during that time, then that's very different. So I hope that's your goal. So assuming that is, and you find yourself hurt, maybe wounded like Stephanie in this email, maybe much more so, like an extramarital affair or something along those lines. If your goal is still to be happily married, forgiveness and true and unconditional forgiveness for the faults, the mistakes, the humanness of your spouse, while difficult, is the only solution. I mean, it's the only solution. And by forgiveness, I don't mean that we continue to bring it up when we're really upset, that it's partial forgiveness, but we're still going to have some of that anger linger. Now, this might not seem just, but for a marriage to truly thrive, there has to be two-way, ongoing, and complete forgiveness. Because in this case, Stephanie mentioned how her spouse had hurt her, but I suspect at times she's probably hurt him as well. It may not be exactly the same. It may not have been at the same time. But throughout marriage, because we're talking about two imperfect people trying to join their lives together, there are going to be hurts and frustrations. And scorekeeping in any regard in marriage is going to harm it, including scorekeeping in, well, you made bigger mistakes than I made. If the goal is bliss in marriage, and that is possible, if it's to be truly happy, then these hurts have to be consistently forgiven. I want to just put in a couple more thoughts before I end this podcast today. Just returning a little bit to that notion again of self-esteem, of self-confidence. This can help in even after deciding that yes, we want to forgive our spouse, to start healing ourselves, because sometimes we can openly forgive our spouse. Stephanie may have already forgiven her husband and yet still feels maybe some of that pain. Sometimes time heals wounds, you know that. But also there are some things that can really help with our overall self-esteem, self-confidence. These are not new, but I want to frame this within the context of marriage and how this can specifically help yourself and help in the marriage relationship. And this can be tricky. As a society, we're not great at getting enough sleep, for instance. But just think for a second. Think about the last day that you just woke up with just an unbounded amount of energy and how different that day was from maybe a standard day. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of you probably consistently get enough rest. And if so, you're a good example to the rest of us. But getting enough sleep, I suspect if you really pay attention on the days that you're well-rested compared to days that you're tired, you probably think more highly of yourself during those days as well, and probably more highly of your spouse. It's so much easier to be cranky with ourselves or with others when we're tired. So you know that already. I'd love to just add the added admonition that you try that much harder to prioritize enough rest. Another one that you know and that you may be good at, but many of us struggle, but getting sufficient exercise. The release of endorphins certainly helps with an instant mood boost, but there is a substantial amount of research, and I actually talk about this in my article. I believe it's entitled 15 Surprising Marital Benefits of Exercise or something along those lines. It's on our website, Family Good Things. But one of the benefits, one of the benefits that's emerged from research is that we feel more confident as we exercise. Now, sure, some of that confidence can come because if we've been fighting, you know, 20 pounds overweight, 50 pounds overweight, or, you know, whatever the case might be, then yeah, we do increase the odds of looking our best as we exercise and as we eat healthy foods. But more than just that, we actually feel confident, even if we're still not where we want to be physically. The fact that we're exercising is going to help with that confidence. And that can help with us more easily dismissing the hurts that happen. Again, Dr. Rob teaching now versus 10 years ago, how now it's much easier for me to dismiss, a poor student evaluation because I have more confidence in my ability. So these things can really help quite a lot. And then one other thing I would mention is, and this area too in particular I talk about in much greater depth in the ebook, but the idea that the idea of how we talk to ourselves, sometimes that running voice in our head is extremely and consistently negative and derogatory. You can't do this. Why aren't you as good as somebody else? You're so stupid. Why would you make this mistake? And then if we hear something else that maybe fits this paradigm we have for ourselves, we latch on to it, oftentimes ignoring the other praise, the other compliments that don't match this negative voice that we have, this negative perception that we have inside of our mind. I had a wise student some years ago say that if we had a friend who talked to us the way that we talk to ourselves, would we be friends with that individual? Think about that for a second. Are we constantly beating ourselves up? You don't want to hang out with a friend like that, but why do we do that to ourselves? So that's really my message for today. So just to review, even when we have hurts like Stephanie experienced, having realistic expectations can help ensure we don't have unmet expectations in marriage, openly communicating with our spouse. And even though we might want to withhold forgiveness out of spite, out of hurt, out of frustration, truly forgiving our spouse consistently throughout marriage, challenging as that might be, is really the only option for those that want to be happily married. We will have additional podcasts every other week. Dr. Tim will have the next podcast. And let me just also mention, for those that are new, we do have a year's worth of articles. Many of them have been viewed many times, and we've received some positive feedback. Our intent is to have our content be free. We want it to be shareable. Please share it. If you feel like you enjoy our articles, please share it with others. We're on a mission of trying to help strengthen families, strengthen marriages, give more confidence to parents. It's not easy in this world to be happily married, to feel confident as parents. And so we want to help out in this quest. We're not perfect as parents. We're not perfect in our marriages, but we've learned a lot that can help. It can help us, and it can help our students, and our hope is it can help many others as well. So thank you for the many of you that are on our email list. Thank you for the many of you that read our articles, hopefully to keep listening to our podcasts. And then the only thing we charge for in part, so that we can continue to maintain this website and keep offering these free products, are inexpensive mini ebooks. But I think you're going to find that they also offer us the opportunity to provide more depth. We keep our podcast to about a half hour. We keep our articles to about 500 to 800 words, so really about a 5-minute read. But in our ebooks, we can go into more depth on these issues, and we keep them inexpensive at about $4.99 per ebook. So check those out. Many of you have already. Thank you. We're getting good feedback. Otherwise, Dr. Rob signing off.